one of the biggest obstructions that we struggle with these days is the element of control. Oftentimes we want to plan and control, and it comes to, I would say, an inability to surrender and to trust, and that actually there needs to be both elements in order to have this experience. And that's really powerful. And so it actually works on a biological level in that there needs to be an engagement of the vagus nerve, because the vagus nerve has the dorsal vagus part, which is a fight, flight, and freeze response, essentially the freeze response. And so that part that then gets tensed up, choked up, is very real within our body. And so if there's any unwanted sexual contact that a woman has had in her past, that's alive in her body.
Welcome to Vaginas, Vulvas, and Vibrators with Jordan Donnell. This is a safe place to learn about women's health and sexual wellness. I'm your host, Jordan Donnell, physician assistant, women's sexual health educator, and intimacy coach. Hi, Tara. I am so excited to have you here with me today, Tara, to talk more about orgasms and specifically cervical orgasms. This is kind of your area of expertise as a certified sex therapist. You have helped many women and couples get their sexy back, and you know there is pleasure in the body to be had. And you wrote a book, Rediscovering My Body. And so I'm so excited to just kind of jump into all of this and talk to you about that. Tell us a little bit about your path that led you to talking about cervical orgasms.
Yeah, sure. So thank you so much for having me on the show, Jordan. I appreciate it. And I began my journey way back in graduate school, where I decided I wanted to start a private practice. And when I got out, all my clients were just wanting to talk about sex and sexuality and relationships and sexual preferences. And I had zero classes on human sexuality. So there was that. And I needed to get up to speed. So I got certified as a clinical sexologist. I get certified as a sex therapist. And then again, just responding to what was showing up in the field, I started working with women who'd had cancer. And I created a program for women who had cancer. And then that became the basis of my book, Rediscovering My Body, when more women were saying, I want some of that, but I've not had cancer. I've been through menopause, I've been through a divorce, or I've been pregnant. And then how do I then rediscover my body in that process? And so that led me, to provide that book for all women. And it's a guidebook. And then going in deeper into these explorations of sex and sexuality, really wanting to know more about pleasure and what it takes to have the pleasure that we can absolutely have. Yeah, that it's beyond our wildest dreams. And then discovering this psychedelic cervix orgasm. So just, deepening into the pleasure.
Will you tell me about your first cervical orgasm?
Aha. So I love that. Yeah. So really it's about the coming into that space of acceptance of just like the expansiveness of coming into that God molecule, that expansive pleasure, and following the waves and the bliss and just really allowing. So different from like a clitoral orgasm where I feel like I'm reaching for the pleasure, or I feel like it's more directive, whereas this is much more expansive and allowing, and really about the receptivity and connecting with my heart in a different way. Yeah.
Are the heart and the cervix connected?
They are. Yes. So the heart, the cervix, and the brain. I mean, and it is connected through the vagus nerve, which is different than in men. Men don't have that genital connection.
I don't think I realized that. That is awesome. And what a unique opportunity that we as women or vulva owners have to really experience a different level of pleasure and type of pleasure. What exactly is a cervical orgasm?
Yeah. So, I mean, I would say that it is this orgasm that taps into the power and the vastness of the cervix. And that for me, that experience is connecting the pleasure from the cervix into the heart space, really into the pineal gland, and making that full connection. And then again, it is this expansive quality that's different from, again, a clitoral orgasm, where there seems like it's a narrowness, not that there's anything wrong or bad, but it's just different. And the quality, it seems like it's much, for a cervical orgasm, more full body. But there's more waves of pleasure that can be derived in that experience.
How would you know if you were experiencing a cervical orgasm?
I mean, for me, it really is this all-encompassing experience. And so it is around, or it is about this experience of surrender, of really allowing, of being so held and feeling so safe that you can be completely open and exposed at the same time, that you can feel the depths of the pleasure within yourself. And then also recognizing that there's a sense of entrainment too that happens with that experience, that I want to say that it's like a torus, right? The torus creates a toroidal field, that there's an opportunity for the energy to be going outward as well as inward, that it's a profound experience.
So I have never had a cervical orgasm. And if I have, I didn't know that I had, so more than likely have not had. Now, what would be some ways to help somebody like myself access that and reach that type of full body pleasure?
Yeah. And I'd say that it's a tricky experience because it's not one that you can set out to attain, right? It's not, because it's not about a mechanism or a trigger that you're initiating, but really it's about this allowance and this surrender. And so one of my teachers who has explained this to me most effectively, it's about allowing the heart to open. And she's actually done a lot of research through the Heart Math Institute about the power and the force that we experience in our heart, that it is the first organ to develop, right? Or one of the first organs to develop in the human fetus before the brain, right? Is the heart, and that the ability to create an electromagnetic field is actually the greatest in the body. And that's really a profound piece. So it is something about the connection to the cervix and the heart that actually allows one to generate or have this experience of the cervical orgasm. And that oftentimes sex is uncoupled from love. And that is one pathway. And that, again, there's nothing wrong with it. And then the opportunity is different. So then how then do you have a mind-blowing, kind of cervical-blowing, cervical orgasm, right, without that love connection? That there needs to be some element of love. And I would even say, the way I teach it, is it's some connection to something greater than ourselves. So if the love is of ourself, the love is also of the divine.
So you call cervical orgasms psychedelic cervical orgasms. Why do you use that term?
And I will say that my teacher introduced that, and I will name her. Her name is Dr. Jenny Martin, and she teaches a psychedelic cervix orgasm. And the opportunity is to understand the space that one can surrender and be in, because it is like a psychedelic experience, because we are able to release endogenous DMT. So it is inherent in the body. It's not that we need to take or ingest a psychedelic to have that experience, although we can. But the opportunity is to remember through, I would say, the psychedelic experience, that we actually can create that within our own system. So in a vaginal birth, psychedelic states can be achieved when the DMT is released in the body. We also can have that experience at our moment of death when DMT is released in the body. And so then the rebirth can happen during a sacred sexual experience. Yeah, and that is the dissolution of ego that happens for us in that experience of the psychedelic. So DMT is known as the God molecule or the spirit molecule. It is one of the most profound experiences or psychedelics that one can take and that we, again, have the opportunity to be able to have that experience within our own system. And I think that that's really important for us to begin to remember, because it's not always about taking the psychedelic.
Yeah. And I have a lot of opinions about psychedelics, mostly because of bad experiences or experience. Yeah. But is this something that like all women can achieve? Can they all have cervical orgasms?
I believe so, yes. And that like the psychedelic experience, it is one of set and setting. And so we really need to have the mindset, right, that we can in order to be able to achieve that. And what I find is some of the biggest obstructions that we experience as women are that we're devalued because we're in a woman's body, that we're not, I guess we're not allowed and we're not taught to really experience the pleasure of our being. That there's something anti-woman, anti-pleasure that is in place in our culture at this time, and that it wasn't always true, but it is part of our experience today. And that profoundly impacts us on a deep psychological level where we don't believe that we deserve to have pleasure. And so part of this process, part of your podcast, part of these teaching, parts of this education are allowing people to know that that's not true, because that is a powerful mindset that we need to overcome. And then also the setting about, are you feeling loved? Are you feeling safe? Are those elements in place? Because we need those as well.
Safety is so important. I mean, in all sexual encounters, but especially when you are wanting to maybe reach a certain particular type of orgasm, or this type of experience really requires safety. Are there any specific factors that make it easier for women to obtain cervical orgasms?
I mean, I do think that it is really about the safety, that one feels safe within themselves and that they know that they can have that safety in relationship with another, if that's what they're choosing to have, because it's not necessary that you have a partner for this experience. A woman can have this experience by herself. And actually, it's probably in some respects easier for her to have that by herself. So this way, then she knows it and knows that experience and then can create an invitation to another should she choose to, right? And have that empowered experience to have that with another person, because then there is the process of neural entrainment that happens when a woman knows her own process, knows her own being. And that my teacher really references temple priestesses of long ago, where women were actually educated in the art of sacred sexuality, and that that pathway was healing to others. And it is because they knew their own energy, that they were able to run their own energy, really be clear within their own system, that they could generate that healing property for others. And I do believe that's absolutely true.
I love that you brought up that this is something that we can obtain on our own. And that's actually something I use with a lot of my clients, is discovering yourself before presenting that to a partner or inviting a partner in, because it makes it a lot easier when you know what you need, when you know what you like, when you know maybe even what that feels like and how to explain to somebody else, okay, do this maybe a little bit to the left or to the right, or whatever you need to do to explain. So I love that you brought up self-exploration. What are like some tools to help women have cervical orgasms? I know for myself, like my hands are really small. I don't think that I would be able to reach my cervix with my hands. So I would love to hear like what tips you have for that.
Yeah. So I began this process a long time ago with my tantric education, and I was using, I guess, a nectar product. And so it was a G-spot wand. And that was really helpful for me for the process. And I learned a lot in that exploration. And now these days, what I actually like to use, and I don't have any of them with me at the moment, but I have an obsidian wand that I like actually much better. Yeah, beautiful. I love it. And that I like currently the obsidian wand because of the properties of the crystal, and the obsidian in particular clears and takes out the negative energy in the vulva, in the yoni. And I feel like that's some powerful medicine that we all can benefit from.
Are you ready to start understanding yourself better
learning and recognizing your patterns and really develop a relationship with yourself. If this sounds like you, the Unleashing My Power, a Women's Empowerment and Gratitude Journal is for you. This journal was specifically curated for women just like you to help you take back your power and develop and go to the next level in life. My friend Danielle and I created this journal because of our own experiences and what we were looking for in a daily practice to improve our connection to self and really become connected with ourselves. This is game-changing, and the feedback that we are getting from other women who have started using this journal is absolutely amazing. You can find it on Amazon, or you can go to jordandanelle.com/journal, and it'll take you right there. I hope you enjoy. Be sure to go snag yours right away and leave me a review. Tell us what you think about it. Slide in the DMs. I know that your life will change when you start using this journal. Absolutely, yes. So for the listeners that are listening, I was just showing it for the ladies that are getting the video on YouTube. For the listeners that are watching the YouTube, what a wand is that can be utilized for this type of stimulation. And I love that you talk about a black obsidian wand. Wands are so beautiful. And I love when we use the different types of using those different crystals and their properties. So I love that. Now, do you teach women how to have cervical orgasms?
I do. Yes,
how do you teach that?
Yes. So it is a process, right? So it's not a one and done experience, but it is really the deepening into this work and allowing the surrender. What I find is, goodness, one of the biggest obstructions that we struggle with these days is the element of control. Oftentimes we want to plan and control, and it comes to, I would say, an inability to surrender and to trust, and that actually there needs to be both elements in order to have this experience. And that's really powerful. And so it actually works on a biological level in that there needs to be an engagement of the vagus nerve, because the vagus nerve has the dorsal vagus part, which is a fight, flight, and freeze response, essentially the freeze response. And so that part that then gets tensed up, choked up, is very real within our body. And so if there's any unwanted sexual contact that a woman has had in her past, that's alive in her body, because the vagus nerve is an afferent nerve, means that it gets the information from the body, 80%, and then some of it is getting the information from the brain, which is different from other nervous systems. So you might be able to think positive thoughts and think positive ideas. However, it's not able to readjust the information that part of the vagus nerve has. And so the opportunity is to have a different felt sense that then creates a different experience. So yeah, Buckminster Fuller said that if you want to change what is, you need to build a new model. So it's not that you need to fight what is, but you really need to build a new model. And I do believe that's so true for us as women in particular, that the pathway forward is a model built on pleasure and not on anti-pleasure, or not on feeling not good enough, which is also a symptom of what I see, but really just on pleasure for pleasure's sake. And so building that model forward is what I'm helping women do when they study with me for the cervical orgasm, because they're unlearning what doesn't work for them. And then they need to put in place a different system. And it's a journey.
Yeah. And with the healing journey, I feel like it is so much relearning or unlearning and relearning our patterns and our way of life that we've done for so many years, and ultimately reparenting ourselves. And it kind of never ends. I have another question for you about cervical orgasms. So, myself, I find that my cervix is extremely sensitive. So like if I use a cup, a menstrual cup, that suction on my cervix
makes me extremely nauseous. And I don't enjoy that by any means. And I know, you know, I actually work in a fertility clinic and we do a lot of procedures that involve the cervix. And there is like this vasovagal response that can make women extremely sick when their cervix is manipulated. So I'm curious for people who maybe have more sensitive cervixes, how do we, like, is that still somebody who can access a cervical orgasm, or what does that necessarily mean about them?
Oh, I love it. Yeah. And that sensitivity is a great thing, right? And then we have the opportunity to protect and honor that for ourselves. And that another one of my teachers, Tammy Kent, does holistic pelvic care. And that is really the primary piece about attending to what is and not trying to change it or dictate it, but really accepting it. So any trauma or healing that needs to happen can happen. And I would say that oftentimes that sense of nausea, my take on it, is something that's not working for the system. So is it a previous trauma? Maybe. Or maybe it's just an indication of something that's currently not working, like the cup, and that needs to be honored. And then how then do you proceed forward? I would say with care and sensitivity that is part of the process, and that to override that is just another form of self-aggression. And that's not part of this process. It's really about allowing and surrendering and honoring where it is that we're at. And that's so important, because oftentimes what I find is that we've got a goal, we want to achieve it, and it's at any cost. And that's not always going to serve us.
No, and that's not honoring our body at all. And I think that, you know, you really have to listen to it, listen to what it's telling you. And anytime you self-pleasure, period, or have sexual contact with somebody, is your body inviting them in or that experience in, or is it guarded? And if it is, honor that. Like, don't force yourself through it. If it says, hey, I'm not interested in being touched today, okay, we don't touch her. We don't. We listen and honor that and what she needs. But I think a lot of it, I mean, it goes back to old programming, right? And that we just push through, and you have to ultimately retrain your mind that it's okay to not want to be touched, to not want pleasure all of the time, or at times when other people do.
Yes, that we are sovereign beings. Yeah.
So I'm curious, you know, I have this wand here. If we are using this to stimulate ourselves to have cervical orgasms, what types of movements would you do with this, or how would you utilize something like this?
Yeah. And so first, to begin with, I mean, I really do like to approach this from an energetic perspective. So actually getting to the wand is going to actually take some time. Because what I find, again, is that oftentimes, because we're goal-oriented, we're going to get to the wand before the body's even primed for that connection, for that insertion. And so I would go 3 steps back, maybe even 4 or 5 steps back, where there is this experience of sensuality, really slowing things down and opening up the heart, maybe doing some nipple stimulation, and also feeling the energetics of the body, really being clear about what that feels like. So even noticing if there feels like there's some nausea in the body because the cervix is feeling a little bit off, and noticing all of that. So really, I like to invite women to really slow things down, and then taking their time with the awareness of the breath as well, and then leading into some of the practices. I would say that the insertion of the wand happens many steps later, and probably many weeks later. And then that's part of the process. And then following the pleasure that one feels. So I can give some suggestions about what might be a good position, but ultimately I want women to have the experience that feels good for them, because I want them to be able to begin to own and follow their own pleasure.
I love that. And I think it kind of also reiterates the fact that we are all different. We all need something different. And anatomically, our cervixes are all in different places. So for those of you that have maybe used cervical cups before or menstrual cups before, those are come in different sizes based on how far up your cervix is, whether it's up high, medium, or tends to be down lower. And I think that that's also something to point out, is that anatomically, like, what works for me may not actually do anything for you, and vice versa.
Yes. Oh, yeah. And I think that's important. And I really want to encourage women to have that, because should they choose to invite a partner into this practice, that they, the woman, really has a sense of ownership of her own pleasure, of really being able to guide her partner into this process and invite them into this process. And that she is wanting to share the experience of pleasure because she knows it so fully, so completely, so deeply.
One thing that's coming up for me when you say this is many women do not feel comfortable or have blocks against masturbation and exploring themselves and feel like this is something that should only be done partnered. Do you come across that a lot with women's resistance to self-exploration?
Again and again. Yes. And that, yeah, that's a difficult one, because I feel like it is pervasive, and really knowing our own pleasure begins with us knowing ourselves. And so the way that I like women to begin to understand pleasure is that there is pleasure, I would say, in activities that they're already doing. And so inviting them to cultivate that in ways that they already are engaged. So, right, we're already eating, right? So then how then can you eat in a more pleasurable way where they're noticing the sensations in their body? And so really bringing it down to a mundane level to make it accessible. Because again, we're all doing things that we can do much more pleasurably, and walking, right? How do you walk into a room and feel so much more pleasure from that? So that's the beginning of the invitation. I like to scale it back to meet the woman where she's at, so she can begin to understand how this is accessible to her. Because if all of a sudden we're thinking, got to use this wand, got to achieve orgasm, I'm not even there, then she's not even there. And meeting her where exactly she's at is the opportunity with this practice. Because we all can experience so much more pleasure in our lives when we allow ourselves and we're able to come back to this mindset that pleasure is good, that pleasure is our birthright, and that we can experience it at any moment.
I love that you brought this up, because this is actually something that I've been working on in my own business and talking more about, just pleasure and adding pleasure in our daily life, not necessarily pleasure in related to sexual connotation or even intimacy, but more like just long walks on the beach or just doing things that you enjoy that bring you happiness and joy and pleasure and just feeling them and being present with the experience. And that's not something that comes naturally to most of us. And it's something that I think we have to relearn or train ourselves to start receiving pleasure in these ways, which opens up our availability for pleasure in the realm of sexual pleasure too.
Absolutely. Yes. Yes. And then when I see some women that they actually are able to understand the pleasure that they're experiencing in their regular life, sometimes it's a huge leap to imagine, okay, now how is that going to happen sexually? Because there's a chasm in between those realms. But the opportunity really is to begin to build the bridge that they can know that pleasure can be had in any moment, and that sex and intimacy is part of that.
Yes. So of the women that I know who have experienced cervical orgasms, they generally say that they're extremely powerful and emotional in healing. Yeah. What are some of the benefits that could be associated with a cervical orgasm?
I mean, I would say probably one of the biggest ones is a sense of release. So yeah, so that emotional release. I mean, I would say release of blockages that may have built up there that we were aware of or unaware of, that there's a sense of fluidity that then can be returned to. I mean, I would say it's different for every woman, and that the opportunity is to really not have expectations about what it will be, but really just allowing it to happen. Because when we have those expectations, really, then we're trying to manipulate it and control it, and it will bring whatever gifts it is that you're ready for, I would say.
Expectations. Yes, we have so many expectations on our bodies as women as far as how they should do or what they should do or how they should respond. And I love that you brought up taking away the expectations.
Yeah.
And just be and just feel it and just experience it for what it is.
Yes.
I wanted to talk to you a little bit about faking orgasms. So this episode is dropping in line with National Orgasm Day at the end of July. And I think that faking orgasms is something we should also really talk about when we are talking about orgasm. How common are they?
That's a great question. I have no idea. And I'll tell you what, because in my practice as a sex therapist, most of the time, couples are seeing me because they're not having any sex. And so by and large, there's no orgasms happening between the two. And then if they are having orgasms, it's probably a solo practice. And then they're not really talking about that either. So I don't really know.
Why do people fake orgasms?
Yeah, my sense is oftentimes that there's a misunderstanding about what an orgasm is. And there's many different types of orgasms. So there's that. And then another piece of it is that we live within this performative paradigm where my pleasure is not my own, but my pleasure is, I don't know, accolades to my partner. It's really fortifying their value as a lover. And so it's ego boosting. And so then if I fake an orgasm, then I'm going to make my partner feel good. And also then it's a sense of completion because, right, without a period at the end of the sentence, how will I know that it's really over? And if I just fake an orgasm, then okay, now we can both say it's over.
Yes. What are some reasons that we should not fake orgasms?
Well, I would say that it creates a sense of dishonesty then in the relationship of then how then are you showing up authentically when you actually do have an orgasm? So there's that. And then really, what are you communicating to your partner? What is your desire to communicate that to your partner? Like what's the underlying message?
I'm curious too, you know, when it comes to like faking orgasms, for people who have been faking orgasms, how do they then approach their partner and tell them like, hey, I've been faking it and now I want to discover this with you. Like, how do you approach that conversation?
I love it. That's a great question. So it's interesting because I'm looking at this study of the archives of sexual behavior and it says research has found that 60% of women have faked orgasms. So I'm like, okay, so there's that. Yeah. I mean, I think that again, it is also the surrender and the lack of control and manipulation of just like, okay, if I am absolutely vulnerable and honest and authentic in my communication and reveal what it is that I've been doing, am I ready to be with the consequences of like my partner actually might be really angry or they might be really distraught or they might not be able to believe me or there's been a breach of trust. And so all of those experiences may be ones that I will have to contend with if I were to reveal the truth. And so I think that that's a really good reality check of, is that something that is worthwhile for you to experience? Is that something that you need to have before you tell the truth? So I think there's something to that because it definitely will create a greater sense of intimacy if you were to be that authentic.
I was just going to add, you know, it creates emotional intimacy when you are able to vulnerably share something that may feel crunchy. It may not feel good to share. You may not want to tell your partner this, but at the same time, letting them know, hey, this is something I want to work on and explore, and keeping them involved and aware of your process and what you're doing and how you're working on it is really helpful. And it does create more intimacy after you get through some of that crunchy stuff that comes up in the hurt and the dishonesty. But after that, when you are able to then truly experience pleasure with your partner, you've just unlocked like another level of the relationship.
Yes. Yeah. And I think that's a beautiful choice to make. And I do believe that it is a choice. And so if you're going down that path and, okay, I'm going to be honest and authentic and spontaneous in that expression, then it's a commitment to that process. And then making sure that you have the resources available to support you in that. Because just because you make the decision is not going to make it easy.
Yeah. And it doesn't mean that you're going to have an orgasm with your partner either.
No, that's true too, because that's about the outcome, right?
then we're talking about the orgasm gap, right? You know, and that it is more difficult in a sense for women to achieve orgasm. You know, we need more components to orgasm. And so, yeah, like sometimes it still isn't going to happen even after you go through all this stuff.
Yes. And can you be with that? And can you allow your partner to be with that?
So tell me a little bit about your book, Rediscovering My Body. I know that it teaches us how to show up for pleasure, but tell us a little bit about like what we can expect in your book.
Sure. So it's a guidebook. It's a playbook where I really wanted people to have the opportunity to create a compendium of experiences for themselves. So it's not a lot of teaching per se, just a little bit. And then really the invitation to begin to explore through activities and practices what could be true for you. And then keeping it all in a book, an interactive book that you can come back to again and again in the process of rediscovering yourself and allowing yourself to be the expert on you as opposed to somebody else.
And I love that you can kind of keep coming back to it because we change. Our bodies change over time, and continuing to explore ourselves and rediscover the new us is so important.
Yes. And I see that again and again because we're dynamic beings, we're ever evolving. And that there's always changes going on in our being, and that the opportunity is to accept as we are and then love ourselves even more.
Where can the listeners find your book at?
My book is available on Amazon.
Yes, perfect. We'll put the link in the show notes. Where can the listeners find you at?
They can find me on my website, terragaliano.com or rediscoveringmybody.com.
Well, thank you so much for sharing your expertise about cervical orgasms and orgasms here with us. This is great information, and I hope that the listeners are able to really like take away the beginning steps and not just going for the orgasm and really going for creating that safety in our bodies and with ourselves and continuing to develop that relationship so that you can invite more pleasure in.
I love that. And thank you so much, Jordan. It's been a pleasure speaking with you today. I love what you're doing.
Thank you. This podcast is sponsored by Intimacy Coaching by Jordan Donnell. Have you ever desired more from your sex life or feel like you're having good sex but curious about how to make it even better? Are you desiring a deeper intimate connection with yourself? Or maybe you are dealing with desire and arousal concerns or struggling with communicating your desires with your partner. If you're hearing this and thinking, that might be me, and you're curious to learn a bit more, let's chat. I would love to talk with you more to see if working with me is a good fit for you. To learn more about intimacy coaching with Jordan Donnell, go to coaching.jordandonnell.com. Thank you for listening to this podcast.
Thank you for joining today and continuing to bring awareness to women's health. If you love the show, please subscribe so you never miss another episode and leave a review for others to see. If you want to see me on the daily, you can check out my bio for links to all my pages. Be sure to share this episode with your girlfriends. Thanks again and see you next episode.